begin his service by singing number 94, 3, 4, and 5. 94. With the abundance of thy house, we shall be satisfied. From rivers of unfailing joy, our thirst shall be supplied. Number 94, 3, 4, and 5. Read to you from God's holy word, Psalm 69, the first part, first the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I make sackless also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy love and kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from me, thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily this far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Unchangeable, and merciful God. Let it not be evil in thy holy sight, that we draw nigh unto thy throne of grace in this beautiful Sabbath day, where in the way of thy providence, in thy forbearance, and in thy long suffering and loving kindness, it is given unto us to come up to the house of worship, to hear the words of eternal life. What is necessary to know shall we live in comfort and die in peace, that Christ may be proclaimed as that only name and way that is given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that there is no hope and no expectation without him, because we have heard it out of thy word already in this morning hour, that he is the Savior, the Mediator, the Kinsman and Daysman, that great intercessor between God and a sinner. That it may please thee to remember us in mercy and in compassion, to open thy word and testimony for all thy servants where they are placed and who are called by thee, to explain thy word and to proclaim that everlasting gospel. Lord, grant unto them the anointing with fresh oil, and that our hearts be filled with the love of Christ, and that we have nothing else in our mind than only the honor of a triune God and the welfare of our fellow beings, travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity, where there is only one step between us and death. Lord, that thy word in this Sabbath day amongst us and outside of us, also under the heathens and under that Jewish nation, that it may be in power unto salvation, that there happen several miracles and wonders, because the wonder to draw a sinner out of darkness to that marvelous light that is greater than the creation of heaven and of earth out of nothing. Remember us together with our children and grandchildren in all the needs and all the wants under all the circumstances of this life, which is full of trouble. Remember those that cannot gather with us. Remember also those that have no desire. And that it may please thee to work almightily in the hearts of young and old, great and small, where we are living under that pure doctrine and gospel that has teached what is necessary shall it be well to meet our Maker in righteousness and in peace. That it may please thee that many were added to that number, that thou will be saved. That thy people may build up in their most holy faith. That thy name may be honored and glorified amongst us. And that thy people have a little joy in the Lord, and that their hearts may be glad on account of the manifestation of that precious Savior and Mediator, because he is the way, life, and truth. Look down upon all the sick and all the afflicted also amongst us. Thou hast strengthened that young father yesterday in his operation. Help him further in mercy and sanctify the blow to his heart. Another mother will have to enter into the hospital. Remember also in mercy and in compassion. Bless the means, and that it may be to an eternal blessing. Remember those parents who have received back the children out of the hospital last week. They hadn't made it so far well. Those parents who were blessed with a baby, give also them an heart to acknowledge thee for all the mercies bestowed upon them, that a boy was born to the upbuilding of thy church and to the honor of thy precious name. Remember widows and orphans and widowers and all who are in sorrow and bereavement, also that family amongst us. We commend them at the throne of grace. Confirm it unto them as one who comforts a mother, so the Lord comforts thee. Remember all the needs of the country, president and government. Bring us back to thy word and testimony. And remember us in all the needs and wants, manifold are they. But thou art an all-sufficient God. Give in this morning thy Holy Spirit, that we forget ourselves, everything of the world. Take everything out of our heart what is displeasing thee, and that thy word and testimony, the suffering of Christ, that it may fill our heart with humbleness, but also with joy and with gladness, and that in this Sabbath day that we experience thy presence, and that all with the pardoning of our sins and taking away all our iniquities in bundles grace, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 389. 389. Your offering will now be taken. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. Number 389. that portion of the suffering of Christ that we will consider with you this morning, you will find in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, to verse 24 to 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Thus far. This morning, we will especially talk to you about the cursing of the Jews. First, Pilate, who evokes it. Second, the people who pronounced it. In the third place, the history which fulfill it, and in the fourth place, the Christ whom it concerns. We have heard last week, Sunday evening, that Pilate had tried to release Christ, placing next to that Christ Barabbas, because Pilate, from the beginning already, he had always felt in his heart that Christ had no guilt and no worthy to be sentenced. The Pilate, he had more compassion with Christ than you ever have found by Caiaphas. It was also in that respect the same as Luther said once in one of his sermons, that his worst enemies, they came not, he said, out of a tavern, but they came out of the clusters. And now that Pilate, he was an heathen, a man without principles. But nevertheless, from the beginning that that man came in contact with Christ, then you can realize that that man, he was afraid of Christ. Of course, it came out in the life of that man also that he had a conscience, as we all have. And that is the reason that Pilate, he had tried with all that was in him to release the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was no way out. That is the reason that we read in the text this morning when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water. He did realize that Pilate, that Jewish people, they desired nothing else than the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was such an hatred, there was such an envy in the hearts of the people. It was really devils. They revealed themselves in their enmity against that Christ in such a way that you must say, oh, notwithstanding that Christ in all those years and times that he was in the world, that he had done nothing amiss or evil. He did nothing else than good preaching the gospel, healing the sick and afflicted people, was always ready to help him, to help them. And time and again when they came with so many problems, of course it was always with a purpose, but he had given never and never any cause that they could lay one finger upon him. Never and ever. But it was nothing else, of course, outwardly than the work of the devil. And the deepest cause, Christ, was the surety of his church. And he had to die. There was nothing else that he had to do to satisfy the justice of his father and to deliver his people than to die the death of the cross. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, of course, he could do everything if he had said it is done, and I sent Christ away because he is innocent, then all their people, they could do nothing. Nothing at all, but of course you know out of the Bible, he was so afraid, because before they had said already, if you do not what we desire, then you are no longer the friend of Caesar. And there was a man there in that Rome that was between the Kaiser and Pilate, and he was a man who always was busy to favor Pilate. And it seems that Jewish people that had also to say something in the relation of that man, so that he was afraid of the people. He had no his own viewpoint. He saw that he could prevail nothing, and then he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude. That is something that you find three times mentioned in the Bible. In the first place in Deuteronomy 21, verse 6. When they found somebody murdered, dead in the field, And nobody knows the cause of it. They don't know how that took place. Then those jutjes, they washed their hands. They would say, we can do nothing. We know not who that man is who had done it, nothing at all. Just then, to cure him themselves, then they washed their hands. David, in Psalm 26, he said, I compassed the altar and I washed my hands in innocency. And then in Psalm 73, verse 13, you read that again. I wash my hands in innocency. It was something that was of very old and that was used in several cases. Now that Pilate, he thought when I wash my hands, then the case that is off from me, I have no more to do with it. And then I show to the people that I am clear in the whole case. Of course, the full responsibility that was laying upon Pilate. Pilate, in our catechism, he is mentioned there as the worldly judge. And the worldly judge, that means there, not that he was an unconverted man and a worldly person, but the meaning of worldly judge, that is there, that he was the appointed judge. And you know, that is the same in the days in which we are living. Bennett Judge speaks out a sentence. There is not one king or queen or president that can change the sentence of that man. A judge is a man who is directly standing in his office in the presence of the Lord. And he have to give no account unto anybody. Then he had spoken out or pronounced a sentence, then it is done. Thus if Pilate had done that from the beginning already, and even after, that he had sent Christ to Pilate, to Herod. After that he had sent Christ, or placed before the Barabbas, then it was done. And even when all the people had stand there for 8 days or 14 days before his house, he could say, oh, I have nothing to do with you. But so it was not with the Pilate. No, he was afraid. And now he thought to clear his conscience, to take water and to wash his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. At the other hand, we can be glad that Pilate had said these words, very glad. Because that these words, that was an honoring for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was an exaltation of him, that he was without any sin, that he was a just person. God's people that have a Savior who is not guilty, who had never done anything that is amiss. And that is the reason why that God's people can be so glad with such a Savior and Mediator who for himself had done not any sin, but who only had paid for the sin of his people perfectly, and now, of course, if you think about the benefits of that Christ and that sentence that was spoken out over him, then you must say it but a fountain of salvation. What a well of bliss is there found in that Christ, because in the agony of his soul is the victory of God's people. In his condemnation is their justification. In his pain is their consolation. In that vinegar that they give the Lord is the honey for God's children. His curse, that is our blessing. And through his crown of thorns, God's people that receive a crown of righteousness, and his death, that is our life, and that is our salvation. There is such an opening, people, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and to place him before the people as that only name that is given unto men whereby we must be saved. For us, it shall be the worst of all if we are perished under that gospel. The worst of all. Because Paul, he said in Colossians 3, verse 1, that Christ is all and in all. And now we are full of imperfections and full of wretchedness. There is never any good thing that you can find in anybody in the world. Never. Not anything. It is all wrong. And it is all polluted with sin. There is not one man that can stand before the Lord for 1 second, for 1 minute. But now in that Christ is everything for a sinner who is worthy to be cast in hell. And that is now placed before men, that way of escape that there is in Christ Jesus. There is nobody that ever can say, I have not heard it. It is never placed before us. No. Christ and him crucified, that is preached. And that way of salvation that is opened for the greatest of sinners. Is there now any infirmity and weakness in it and shortcoming in it? No. God's people that find in that Christ everything, everything to live in comfort and to die in peace. Thus, the cursing of the Jews, Pilate had him evoked. Because when he had done that and had said, see ye to it, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit,
the third person in the Trinity. When he now comes and he proves us of sin, righteousness and judgment, oh, then we have such a sorrow. We are so lamenting and bewailing before the Lord that we say, oh, have I done it? Never have I done never such things, but that lays there. That lays there. And by nature, one of our old writers, he said, in our blindness and in our enmity, we cast our bed full with needles and with pins that we have to lay in that tomb forever. And that is now the life of man by nature. But he do not understand it, notwithstanding, it lays all before him, and the Lord shall require it from our hands in the great day of judgment. And then, sin that brings nothing else than a totally ruination. Because if they have said his blood be on us and has stopped with it, but now they said his blood be on us and on our children and on our children and our children. To what an extent? It is now 1964. And from that time on that they have cried that out. And there in the hall of, in the place there by Pilate, till this day that blood that lays still upon the children. There is nothing, there's never in the world such a nation so despised and persecuted as that Jewish people. To a certain extent they rule the world. Really? They rule the world. Even that they have no own, their own government, but still they are ruling the world. But nevertheless they are despised. And if you now think in the year 70, then the Lord has started in the history to fulfill. Fill the word, his blood be on us and on our children. Every day you can find in the history, they were crucified about 500 Jews in Jerusalem. Every day with the destruction of that city. And by thousands and thousands, they were sold as slaves and as city. There came a pestilence, there came a famine, that they lay dead on the street and the blood that was flowing through the streets. There were only three pieces of towers left over in that city. Only three pieces of towers. Vespasianus, he had done that. He would do that as a remembrance. But an awful condition that people came in and that city. Then the Lord came with his judgment. His blood come be on us and on our children. Oh, really, people, you would say if you read that now, men have no right mind and no understanding what he is doing. That people, that was really crazy there. Crazy. They were out of their mind and out of their senses. They have no idea what they're saying there, but the devil are so in their people so often. His blood be on us and on our children. And then you can see what an awful character that sin is, that we have even nothing to do with our children. That we have no thoughts about, and that we drown it out in the deepest abyss that there is, people. If the Lord left us over to ourselves, his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, Pilate, you can wash your hands and you can say, I am free, but we are not afraid to take his blood upon us. No. For us he is a devil. For us he is the greatest malefactor. And now his blood, they will come ever something out of it. But they thought if he is dead, then he is dead. Then it is all done with him. That were the thoughts that there was in their heart. His blood come upon us and on our children. We take it freely over. They have never known, never known, never realized, but still, they have said these words. And what a blessing. Oh, if now for us, but in another way that we say his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, people, if there was no blood shed here in this world, divine blood, then there was never any hope and ever any expectation for us. The Bible tells us, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Oh, people, if we never come in contact with that blood, if there never is any need for the blood, then it shall be an eternal, an outer darkness for us people. An outer darkness. There is only one remedy for our guilt and for our sin. One remedy to be reconciled with God. And that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now by nature, people, oh, I know it is hard to say it, and it is hard to take it over if we have no light from the Holy Spirit personally in our heart. Because let us now be honest for 5 minutes. If we have a decent life here in the world, then we think it is not so bad. No, it is not so bad. Then there is many people that is more worse than we. Honest now. Honest. There are old, shall be a wonder people if there now is in this morning. In our midst this is one sin. There shall I be a wonder. Oh, that shall such a wonder. There is well people amongst us that say, Lord, make me as a sin. Oh, Lord, that I came to that right place. Because I am convinced in my conscience that I have to come to that place. I am convinced of it. But it is so impossible to come there for myself. The Lord have to bring me to such a place, and otherwise I never come to it. And only sins in the heart. Only sinners by inner heart. They need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only sinners. Black of sin. Having nothing else than sin. God be merciful to me, sin. His blood be on us and on our children, because what we need for ourselves, we need that for our children too. We need that for our grandchildren, for our whole generation, we need that. There is no other way. We need all the same thing, and the necessity is to be washed and be cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to receive that privilege that we are thirsty after that blood, as bends the hearts for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. Psalm 17, 1 and 2. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then released he Barabbas unto him. There is a story, an old story, but of course it is a story. It is a story. It is not in the Bible. But you can find it in several writers. That Barabbas, after that he was released, that he had stand by the cross of Christ, and that he has sat there, that was my place. Whether it is true, I don't know. But every Barabbas that becomes Barabbas in sight and look unto Christ, he have to say, that cross, that is my place. Barabbas released, but released on the foundation of Isaiah 1, verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed by judgment. God's people that is not free in a wrong way, no. But a people that walks free, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because the Father is fully satisfied with the mediatorial work of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Father could never be satisfied with anything of men, no. No, not with our confession, with our tears, with our frames, with nothing, people. All that is of man, even man himself, listen now, even man himself, he is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Read. It is all wrong what men is doing. But Christ, that is different. Twice the Father explained and proclaimed from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you read in the Bible, in the beginning of the Bible, that the Lord, he looked not to Cain and to his offer, but he looked well to Abel and his offer. Why? Because Abel was a righteous man and he was a chosen man from all eternity. And he is the cause of it, that is the Father. That is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This In other words, people, we have to fall away entirely, entirely, and find solution for our poor soul in Christ Jesus and in his mediatorial work. And there is no other way to leading to salvation as that, people. And if you have no knowledge of it, then it is lost. I can preach nothing else to you. No. I cannot lay another foundation than only Christ Jesus and him crucified, his blood and his righteousness. Oh, Luther said, Christ my sin and I am his righteousness. That is the case. Then he released Barabbas. Oh, but meaning had that text now here, I tell you, people. Pilate, he sentenced Christ, and Pilate released Barabbas. Not Caiaphas, no. But Pilate, he had done it. He was the man who had the right to do it. And God set his people at liberty. And with no one less can do that. And can we do it as with the Lord alone? No. What profit would it give to us if now everybody would say you are safe and it is right with you? And you never shall hear in your whole life the voice of the Lord. But prophet shall it give you. Nothing, man, nothing. There's so many people that is looking for a seal and a stamp of a minister and of God's people, but all is all nothing. No, they are men in the likeness of each and every one. And we can do nothing to satisfy the empty soul of a sinner. That is alone a triune God. And people, without that, you shall never have any rest and any peace in the world. If you have it, then you have take it, but it is from the devil. It is from the devil. And if you could rest in it, then it, your whole life, that is wrong. That is wrong. You find that so clear, explained in the Word of God, in the book of Ruth. She came with her mother-in-law. She was examined by that mother-in-law. And the end of the examination was, thy people is my people, and thy God, my God. She said, not is my God, no, but my God. The word is let out there. Because it was only there what the desire was of the heart. She had not said that she had it in possession there. No, but the desire of the heart. And then later on, she came home from the trespass floor with 6 measures of barley. And she never was in such a sorrow and in a miserable condition for herself as there, when there was laid up on her shoulders those 6 measures of barley, 6. And then weeping and lamenting, she came there in home by her mother-in-law. And that mother, she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. The man, she could do nothing. No, she could do nothing at all. But Christ is the only comforter for God's people. Verily he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. He had scourged them with that idea that if the people would see his condition bodily, that they would say, now, it is enough. It is enough. Because to score such person under the Jewish people, there was a law, and then they could only get 39 stripes, 39. Always not 40, but 39, because they have to be careful. But the Romans law have not that restriction, no. By the Romans, when they score somebody, they could do it so long as that they want to do. No extension. And you know, the scoring that was awful. That was with stripes they did it, and at the end, they were brass and some little pieces of wood. And then they go into the body of such person that the flesh was ripped out of the body. Some people that died already under that action. And Pilate, he had done it, oh, that the people would be satisfied. But God, I would say rather this morning, God could never be satisfied till that surety gave up the ghost and died. Because in the Alan Psalms we have a line, and that zegt, het staat op recht en waarheid Paul, als op onwrikbaar steunpilaar. Het is standing upon faithfulness and truth and righteousness. God's people that knows a time in their life that they are lost righteousness, that they go to hell right, that he said, Lord, there is no other place for me. But if they enter into heaven, then it is also to the glorification of all the attributes of the Lord. And he delivered him to be crucified. And now Christ, he had accepted that with his whole heart and soul. He had never opened his mouth because his heart was burning of love for the honor of his Father and for the eternal salvation of his people. Oh, God's children, they can well be first some and thirsty, but Christ had first more than that they ever did for their salvation. And Christ, he had done everything. Oh, that sentence that was unreasonable. That sentence that was cruel. That sentence that was thoughtless. That sentence that was forced. That sentence that was hypocritical. It was irreparable. Really, it was. But Christ received it surprising, meek, and patient. And that all to the honor of his Father and to the salvation of his people. And if you have heard a little of this Omer, a little people, because who can bring it in words, the suffering of Christ. But all what I would say this morning, that is this, that it now has become precious and necessary for our heart and for our soul people. That we are all travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity. Oh, at once I will repeat it to you. It shall Tyrus and Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah, more tolerable in the days of days than that it shall for us, Peter. If we have to die under such a preaching and gospel as it is given unto us, young and old, great and small. Do you never leave the church that you think, Lord, what shall it be for me? To listen all the time to hear, and there no profit out for our soul. Because it is not the case that we come here and that we listen to it. Even with reverence, no. But what do we know for our own heart out of it, people? And make us every Sunday, it can be the last day that we are here. The last day. And then to die without any knowledge of this. What shall it be there? O young and old, great and small, that the Lord humble our hearts as in dust and ashes. He show unto you and me that he had no desire in the death of a sinner, but well in the repentance and in the salvation, in the conversion. The Lord, he is so long-suffering for us, so long-suffering. He is knocking on the door of your heart, even in this Sabbath day, that we open the door, but we cannot do it. But ask the Lord, young and old, great and small, that it please the Lord to remember to enter into our heart, to take away all that indifference, to take away all that blindness and hardness of heart, and to say, Lord, I am an unconverted man. I am an enemy of you. Say it my right to the Lord, how that it is. You have nothing to cover for him. As tell him rightly out, I have a desire to go to hell. That's all that I have. And to die in my sin. Really, oh, say it my right to the Lord. But oh, that you had it to it, Lord, be merciful to you, sin. And that I receive as a little of that love that was in the heart of the Father, and a little of that love that was in the heart of the Son, in giving over himself to the death of crucifixion. And that it may please the Lord to work almightily in my heart, to make us a room in my heart for it. Oh, it is still the day of salvation. The Lord sanctify it to your heart, young and old. And that Christ become necessary and precious for your soul. He is the same as that he was at the time that he was here on earth. He is, there is no changing at all in him. He is willing to save sinners, to restore them into the fellowship with God. And he is able to do it. Unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And children of God, that we receive more knowledge of our sins, deeper insight in that gulf that there is between the Lord and us, in the fall of earth and the depth of our heart, that we could not live without the blood of Christ, and that our looking forward is to that moment that we are discharged and released as that Barabbas was released from that devil, Satan, and sin, and that our soul is set at liberty as soon that we enter into that heavenly Jerusalem, leaning upon the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and that he is our only hope for time and for eternity. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Sanctify it to our hearts. For thy people that are being comforted, that there is that only name, that we need thee more and more. Reveal thyself unto us, Lord. And remember us in mercy and in compassion. Also, that father and mother who hope to join with our church in this morning and to place himself voluntarily and freely under that doctrine that is amongst us, delivered from our fathers and that is still amongst us. Lord, that it was in thy divine favor to the salvation of the soul, to the honor of thy precious name, and to the gladness also of their heart, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Before that we now sing number 174, I asked Mr. and Mrs. Rothfuss to stand up 2 minutes and to answer the questions that they have to do. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have confessed before the consistory to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation conforming the sacred scriptures? Do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adore your confession with good works? Do you promise that you will submit to admission, correction, and sure discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you should become delinquent, either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer? Sit, madame. We hope that the joy without shears for both of you, that you have longed so for that for so long a time already, that it be in the favor of the Lord. And I hope that the Lord, under this true doctrine that is delivered from our fathers unto us, and that is still amongst us, that the Lord gave you here in this certain place. A home. We need in our temporal life a home, but we need in our church life also a home. And if we find a home, if it is in the favor of the Lord, then we are satisfied with that home. And then we desire nothing else. You have expressed before the consistory your desire for that doctrine and to live with us. I hope that the Lord give in your heart time and again his divine favor, that you experience that for your heart, and above all that the Lord give a name and a place better than of sons and of doctrine, of daughters, an everlasting name for time and for eternity. You have joined this morning with a church full of infirmities. Our church that is a church that is despised in the whole city of Grand Rapids. They talk about that Nederduits so despisefully all the time, of course, but I am glad that is on account of the doctrine. The people that is member, the minister, elders and deacons, that are all sinful people. There is not the one that is right before the Lord. All our life that is wrong. There is not one thing that is right in our life. But let we then, full of infirmities, we can boast upon the truth of free and sovereign grace that the Lord has given unto us. And that is not be honored amongst us. The Lord give for you that privilege, Mr. and Mrs. Rootfoots, for to the end of your life to be members of our church, and that also the congregation, that they open their arms to receive you and to have love under one another and unity, because not as men, because that falls all away, people. Men, that is nothing, but only for the truth's sake. And for that foundation that shall stand for time and for eternity. And if we have the favor of the Lord, then we have everything for time and for eternity. The Lord give it also in the distress and also in the many troubles that you are in, have in your life. We sing now Psalm 74, O all ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise and what follows.
the Tuesday catechism class will hold as usual. The school board will meet Wednesday evening, 7:30 p.m. Thursday evening service will be held in the Holland language. Parents having children to be baptized can submit the names of the children directly after service. Sunday, March 22nd, there will be baptism. The next Sunday, collection for the inheritance. Prayer was offered for Mr. Jan Bezen, who underwent an operation. Also for Mrs. Van Houten, who must enter into the hospital. And for Mr. and Mrs. Raberboot, who were blessed with a baby boy. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.